Bible readings this morning are taken from Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 19, a prayer for the Ephesians. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Second reading is Mark 14, 12 to 26, the Last Supper. On the first day of the festival of the unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left, went into the city and found things just as Jesus had told them, so they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were declining at the table eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, as I just said earlier with a couple of the children, the shared meals are acts of special friendship and celebration and mutuality. And of course, Jesus shared many meals with his companions along the way. And we get a picture of a very intimate home with Mary and Martha and with their brother Lazarus, who Jesus later raised, a place of particular companionship. But Jesus also is criticised by those who wished to bring him down. This man shares with outcasts and sinners and even eats with them. There is, for example, Jesus at the Pharisee's home, when the woman, in contrast to the host's coldness, pours out her love with extravagant ointment. And Jesus invites himself to the despised and roguish tax collector Zacchaeus, whose life is now turned around by meeting Jesus. Thus, Jesus is not only showing friendship, but he too and his family were part of God's family. And the big meal, of course, the 5,000. Jesus feeds the crowd on the slopes of the lakeside, not only with words, but with miraculously with the bread and the fish, the loaves and fish, showing his love and care for all, both physically and spiritually. And of course, there are parables too about meals. Dives and Lazarus, not the same Lazarus. The rich dives apparently is Latin for rich man. That's why it doesn't appear in the new translations. The rich man, with his extravagant and unconcerned for the poor, destitute Lazarus at his gate. Fed on the occasional scraps with the dogs. The point here is, I believe, magnificently expressed in the Roman Requiem, which speaks of Lazarus being poor no more. And the prodigal is welcomed home with a feast into which his self-righteous brother refuses to share. Now, very often in the Bible, the absolute joy of the eternal kingdom of God is pictured as a wonderful banquet. And someone once approached Jesus with the words, "Well, how great and happy it will be when we sit down and feast in the kingdom of God." Well, this chap was met with a parable. And the parable, if you remember, is about a rich man's banquet, and how so many people made excuses. "Oh, I've just bought a property. It was hard enough to get a bank loan. I've got a farm to look after, or one to inspect. I've got a new set of oxen. Well, I've got a new car. I've just got married. Can't possibly come. So many things to do, and they're so important. So, the one who so generously had made this banquet feast, God, of course, in his disappointment, sends out his servant to invite whosoever will to come from the streets and the hangouts. Not all are respectable, of course. I've long misplaced this picture, and I wish I had it. But it was a wonderful Sunday school picture representing this feast with these people who had been invited in from the streets and lanes and so on. The table is set with candles and decorations and is glamorous. A wonderful festive table. And seated around this festive table are these all sorts of people who are homeless and lame with crutches and outcasts, and they're all in their ragged clothes. And the drawer of this simple drawing has shown magnificently the absolute amazement on the faces of those who have come that they are at such a magnificent feast. That's how happy it will be, the feast in the kingdom of God. That's the parable Jesus told. And isn't this what Jesus does in his ministry? Reaching out to the broken in life and the needy, to the physically broken as well as the spiritually broken, the distressed, the ill, those labelled outcasts and sinners, and especially also the self-righteous. For here is a parable of grace. Jesus is excluding no one. If anybody is excluded, it's their own action. Not action, I shouldn't say, their own decision. For all are called. Everyone is welcome at the banquet feast. Come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will refresh you. I will heal you, restore you, embrace you. But there are also resurrections meals too. In the upper room where Jesus comes and even shares food on in one description, a fish. Where he meets two disciples on the road to Emmaus, firstly warming their hearts by opening up the meaning of the scriptures about himself. And at the table he is made known when he breaks bread. And there's the meal on the beach, a breakfast of bread and fish by Lake Galilee. Does this remind you of another meal by the lakeside with bread and fish? The 5,000. After a wondrous catch of fish, where the disciples are recommitted to their calling to make Jesus known as they are known to him, go to all people. So it is from the very beginning that the Christian community has kept this feast, the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread, that do this in remembrance. This scrappy looking thing is my ordination thesis, which we had to do, which I never had time to complete properly. Oh, I can't find it now. I've quoted in this from C.H. Dodd's little book, The Founder of Christianity, which is really quite old. Excuse me, page 43. That doesn't matter. Except for it's, I've got it marked. In what I regard as a magnificent little book, C.H. Dodd shows that it is in fact the weekly sacramental memorial which shows the living reality of belonging to this people, whose whole meaning of existence is related to the commemorated event. Our worship is not related to some remote, forgotten episode in the past, now rediscovered. It's a living tradition, a corporate memory, which has its beginnings in the actual memories of those who shared with Jesus and witnessed the events. He writes, the remembrance goes back in a continuous chain. At every service there are present elderly people who 50 or 60 or more years ago heard the words spoken by or in the presence of people old enough to be their grandparents. And there are young people too who it may be will repeat them in the hearing of their grandchildren. And so the endless chain goes on. For 19 centuries, you say, well, I'll say 20, there has been not one single week in which this act of remembrance was not made, one generation reminding the other. Do this, and the church has done this. We read from the Gospel of Mark. I could have read from other Gospels. But it was at the Passover meal, celebrating, remembering the deliverance of slavery from Egypt, God's act of salvation in the Old Testament towards his people, that Jesus gives special meal to two elements from that meal, the bread and the cup. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. Many years ago, when I was training as a teacher doing my diploma in education, I did a teaching round at Mount Scopus Jewish School in Burwood. It was just before Easter, and Passover was round about the same time. And with great, although I was doing things in the secondary school like chemistry and maths and so on, I noticed in the primary school the children were in their primary classes with Passover tables set. And they were learning in class what they would later do at home with their family and guests. And it was quite moving, really. God's act of salvation, slavery to freedom, death to life. For Jewish people, this is not something gone and over. This is something that is timeless. This is something for them which is contemporary. They are saying as they do this, we are the people. We are the people who have been brought from slavery, delivered by God, chosen. And here is the clue to what Jesus is doing here at this table with his disciples, the Last Supper, as we call it, and with us who follow the do this. He's saying, do this in remembrance, in the same sort of way. We are the people who have been made, called by God's new act of salvation in Jesus. By God's coming amongst us as the child of Bethlehem, by Jesus' ministry amongst us, by his cross and resurrection, by his continual presence. He is not a dead hero. He is the risen, living Lord. Do this, Jesus said, for you are this people. So here is the meal's significance. Salvation won once for all, perfect and complete, sufficient and for us, timeless and contemporary. And as we, as Jesus said, do this, we share the reality of Christ among his people and Christ in our lives. Here is a visible word which, like the written and proclaimed word, opens us to the sharing of all the reality and effects of the salvation of Christ. This covenant is the new covenant in my blood, said Jesus. This is a covenant ordinance or a covenant sacrament. For our salvation, our relationship with God, our calling, our life is in Christ. Sacrament means pledge, for here is God's pledge to us, evoking our pledge to God, our response to God. And remembering that here at the Last Supper, Jesus washed his disciples' feet. We are at this table to be reminded and called to act in love and humility and service also. Here is a sign of our togetherness in Christ, for we do this together. We who are many are one body because we all share the one loaf. And as Paul says, here is the expression of our fellowship, love and acceptance of each other, who are thus called to be the body of Christ, sent out in service to make Christ known and continue Christ's mission. And here is communion, that is sharing with Christ. Jesus promises where two or three are gathered, he is in our midst. And surely this is especially true when we share the gift that he has given, made known in the breaking of bread, just as Emmaus. Why have we allowed arguments about technicalities of how to spoil a simple gift? Christ is present in our meeting, in our doing this, we don't need to know more than that or be separated from other Christians. Jesus has given the gift and Christ is amongst us. Draw near with faith to strengthen our faith and to live in service. The Lord's Supper is something we experience as we do, as Jesus said, to remember, to know, to assure us, to strengthen us, to be drawn together and to serve. Here is a story by a person called Thomas Pettipies. And I don't know if he's writing of himself or of another, but they were political prisoners, 10,000 of them, and they were broken, families were broken up, and the children were left to roam in the streets. And just a few of them were Christians. And he writes, "There is not a single cup, but a score of Christian prisoners experienced the joy of celebrating communion without bread and wine. The non-Christian said, 'We will help you. We will talk quietly so that you can meet.' Too dense a silence would have drawn the guard's attention as surely as the voice of the preacher. 'We have no bread nor water to use instead of wine,' I told them, 'but we will act as though we did. The meal in which we take part,' I said, 'reminds us of the prison, the torture, the death, the final victory, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The bread is the body he gave for humanity. The fact that we have none represents very well the lack of bread in the hunger of the many millions of human beings. The wine which we don't have today is his blood and represents our dream of a united humanity, of a just society without difference of race or class. I held out my empty hand to the first person on my right and placed it over his open hand, and the same with others. 'Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' Afterwards, all of us raised our hands to our mouths, receiving the body of Christ in silence. 'Take, drink, this is the blood of Christ, which was shed to seal the new covenant of God with men. Let us give thanks, sure that God is here with us, strengthening us.' We gave thanks to God and finally stood up and embraced each other. While later, another non-Christian prisoner said to me, 'You people have something special, which I would like to have.' The father of a dead girl came up to me and said, 'Pastor, this was a real experience. I believe today I discovered what faith is. Now I believe I'm on the road.'" Well, we have bread and we have the juice of the fruit of the vine and we have each other and we have the table spread. Christ is with us. Let us sing together.